All right. This is Ron Avery filling in for just a minute or two for Mark Anderson, and he will be back shortly. And let me turn this phone off here. That was Wireless DC. I always get calls from Washington, D.C. And, I get a lot of calls from Donald Trump, man. And he has all kinds of phone numbers. And he says, "Hi, I'm Donald Trump. And anyway, it's kind of, I don't know what to do with that. Well, anyway, Mark is back, and he's going to take a seat here and join us and run the show. Here, you there, Mark?
I hope so.
Okay, good.
I'm thinking that I'm here.
Good.
Unless it's all a metaphysical illusion, which would not surprise me. And welcome, everybody, to Stop the Presses here, 29 December. Could it be 2021? As you've already heard, I'm joined by Ron Avery, my trusty sidekick, even more than that, partner in crime, according to those that label us thought criminals. How does it feel to be a thought criminal, Ron? Have you gotten used to it?
Well, I don't remember the transition. I don't know where the transition was. I feel like I'm the same guy I always was. Something else is changing, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm a bloke, as they say in the UK, and you're a bloke. Like, we just hang out, you know, have a couple of beers, you know? We don't mean nobody no harm. But I might get serious in a moment here, ladies and gentlemen, but Ron, of course, does the Search for Lawful Government here in RBN Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 Central. Stop the Presses announcement is 3 years old, Ron. I've been at this 3 years at this particular show on RBN.
Really? Well, congratulations. Happy 3-year anniversary.
Yes, yeah. It's been a couple of weeks since the official anniversary, but what with Christmas and all, and me turning 41, 51, 61, 61, I got a little bit disoriented. All these anniversaries and all these birthdays and all these milestones coming along. Yeah, the COVIDocracy officially, as of early 2022, will be 2 years old. It's funny how the COVIDocracy, the bureaucracy that built up around COVID, it's funny how that was an instantaneous bureaucracy, meaning the bullet was already in the chamber a long time ago. That, although we've heard something like this before, that is the main theme today, and we're going to have Ron's show for the video simulcast of this show that goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-B-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. We're going to have Ron now show a visual of the front page of something called Global Trends 2025, A Transformed World, talking about the bullet already being in the chamber for COVID. And we'll give Ron a moment to show that for the video viewers, for the video simulcast viewers, of course, for audio only through republicbroadcasting.org. I will amply describe some of the things that are in said document.
Did you want the newspaper CFR 100 years or the other one?
The other one.
Okay.
Yeah, the CFR one will show at the bottom of the hour right after the break.
This is a Global Trends here. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just show a visual of that. I may have you go to a particular page or two, but let's just show the front page of it for now. Anyway,
I had to blow it up in order to see the words and all, so it's a little large there. Is that good enough?
I don't happen to be seeing it on my screen.
What? I forgot to share the screen. Hang on just a minute then.
No worries. Yeah, you take care of that. I'll keep kind of plowing forward.
Very good, very good.
As you do the heavy lifting there. Now, Global Trends 2025, ladies and gentlemen, A Transformed World, take note, came out in 2008. Okay, now, most of us know that there was an eerily prescient prediction, it sounded like, of the COVID-19 phenomenon in October of 2019 via Event 201, which was held at a New York City hotel around October 18th, if memory serves, of 2019. And it involved a scenario of make-believe, we're told, meetings, emergency meetings, and high-level discussions of what to do about a new zoonotic coronavirus, zoonotic meaning transferable from animals to humans. And this was right before the real thing came along, only no more than three months later. And everybody thought, well, how prescient, how convenient, how weird, right, how eerie. That happens in October of 2019, and then the so-called real thing comes along so soon thereafter. And many of us have heard also of the Rockefeller study called Lockstep that came out about 10, 12 years ago. But that one, I was never real taken aback by that. It had some general parallels with what we now see as COVID-19 and the COVIDocracy, but it wasn't as specific as Event 201. But now, Global Trends 2025, we're looking at the cover now, I believe.
That gives me an idea. Why don't we hold a meeting about lawful government and call it Event 301, and maybe a month or two after our meeting, it will just all fall in place. Everybody will be moving towards lawful government and create a new republic, and those people will not be able to get away with this kind of eventocracy anymore.
That would be nice if that's possible, and I would be raising my hand and signing up for it instantaneously, at least for the sake of trying the good old college try, as it were. I wouldn't mind giving it a whirl. But I see what you're saying. Isn't it amazing that through the flick of a pen and a study that's produced here, a study that's produced there, all of a sudden the events that are hypothetical one moment or one year are reality not long after that? Now, this, of course, goes back further. It's interesting that it goes back all the way to 2008. We're looking at it on the screen now for video-only viewers. It's a big picture of a big globe kind of floating in a blue ether with a undefined ground underneath it. And in the lower right-hand corner, it says Global Trends 2025, a transformed world. Now, note the wording there. Before we get into the guts of this a little bit, a transformed world, meaning that as of 2008, they figured by 3 or 4 years from now, Ron, that the world would already be transformed.
Yes.
That's important. It doesn't say a transforming world. It doesn't say looking ahead on how to transform a world, let's just say. It says a transformed world. In plain English, that means it's already been done. The transformation has already taken place.
Yeah, it's not a world in transformation. It's a transformed, done deal.
It's a done deal, exactly. Now, this is a document some 100 pages long. I had it printed today. I have the print version in my hand right here. But I don't know if you have a thing where you can easily choose the page, Ron. I believe you do. In the upper left corner, it looks like.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, let's go to, let me see. The order of this thing could certainly be better. Well, I'm going to note that the key players in putting this together were the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs at Chatham House, the Brookings Institution, and other familiar major think tanks that are spokes in the Bilderberg Hub. It's important to remember, even though Bilderberg has not had their meeting 2 years in a row now, and they may be defunct, it's important to remember that Bilderberg itself is not really a think tank per se. It's a meeting held by think tanks. So the CFR, Brookings, Trilateral, different groups that we know of, the Atlantic Council also was involved in a transformed world in this study. They are the established think tanks and tax-exempt institutes created by the super rich that are the kitchens of the NWO, as I've often described them, when they come together at Bilderberg, it is like a college of think tanks, spokes going into the Bilderberg Hub. Bilderberg is really a conference or meetings more than anything else, consisting of think tanks and similar institutions. Bilderberg itself, in the strict sense, is not a think tank. It's a meeting of think tanks. And it is not super secret, it's secretive. We know it exists. We know who the main players are in the steering committee, about 35 members that help with the financing and choosing where they're going to meet, what they're going to talk about, etc. So Bilderberg is a group in terms of the steering committee, but it's mainly the Bilderberg meetings, as they're formally called. It's a conference. This is not theory. This is exactly how it works. I worked with Jim Tucker on this, the best of the best. So we're looking essentially at the building blocks of Bilderberg, at least indirectly, if not directly, creating this study. Now, Ron, let's go, before we get to the main thing, let's go to page 73. And I'll share something there. Okay, now, oh, shoot. Now, the page thing on there does not align with the page of the what's on the page.
Oh, yeah. If you printed it out, you have a the print copies will not be the same as the PDF versions.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. What page are you on there? Just
it's might 73 of 120.
Right. What's the actual number at the bottom of that page physically?
Okay. Hang on.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. Only 53.
It's way off, too. It's 20 pages off.
Yes, it is, because it's a 100-page document, and this says it's 120. That's highly unfortunate. I'll tell you what. Let's cut to the chase.
Well, would we add 20 to that?
Yeah, go to page 95 on that counter and see if you come up to 75. And I don't want to take too much time doing this, so I'll keep talking.
What page?
Go to 95 up there and see if you come up on 75. There it is. We have it. Go 20 pages up. Okay, let's just cut to the chase and show this. This is the main thing I wanted to show, and I apologize for any delays or bumps in the road that this process might take. I did not anticipate the counter would be off like that. Anyway, on page 75 of this 100-page document, we have potential emergence of a global pandemic. Now, what's particularly noteworthy here is how specific this is. And let me read it, and those that are watching the video simulcast can read at least parts of this. The emergence of a novel, highly transmissible, and virulent human respiratory illness for which there are no adequate countermeasures could initiate a global pandemic. And this was being said back in 2008. If a pandemic disease emerges by 2025, which could mean sooner, internal and cross-border tension and conflict will become more likely as nations struggle with degraded capabilities to control the movement of populations seeking to avoid infection or maintain access to resources. Think about the border situation in the U.S. as you keep that in mind. I'll continue. The second paragraph on the screen here in the report. The emergence of a pandemic disease depends upon the natural genetic mutation or reassortment of currently circulating disease strains, think variants, or the emergence of a new pathogen, think variants, or SARS-CoV-2, into the human population. Experts consider highly pathogenic avian influenza strains, such as H5N1, to be likely candidates for such a transformation, but get this, but other pathogens such as the SARS coronavirus or other influenza strains also have this potential. I'll go on to the third paragraph. Let's make sure that's on the screen. If a pandemic disease emerges, it will probably first occur in an area marked by high population density and close association between humans and animals, such as many areas of China, ding, 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 and Southeast Asia, where human populations live in close proximity to livestock. Unregulated animal husbandry practices could allow a zoonotic disease, ding, 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 such as H5N1 to circulate in livestock populations, increasing the opportunity for mutation into a strain with pandemic potential, ding, 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 ding. To propagate effectively, a disease would have to be transmitted to areas of high population density, such as China, which it already explicitly mentioned. And I'll go to the bottom paragraph now under the words waves of new cases. See it right there, Ron? Right there. Waves of new cases would occur every few months. Get that. Waves of new cases would occur every few months, just like it is with SARS-CoV-2 and the so-called variants. The absence of an effective vaccine and near universal lack of immunity would render populations vulnerable to infection. In this worst case scenario, tens to hundreds of millions of Americans within the U.S. homeland would become ill, and deaths would mount into the tens of millions. Outside the U.S., critical infrastructure degradation and economic loss on a global scale, would result as approximately a third, that is, one-third of the worldwide population became ill and hundreds of millions died. Now, there's an also awful lot of specificity there, SARS, coronavirus, zoonotic, China, etc., and basically hinting at variants and the new so-called virus itself, which is SARS-CoV-2, that supposedly exists and supposedly causes what we call COVID-19. But this is not the only thing, Ron. That's just it. That's just one thing in this Transformed World report written in 2008, looking ahead to 2025. That's just one thing of significance. This is perhaps the most significant thing, but it is only one thing. So this is the main thing that we need to keep in mind and use as a tool in fighting back, and that is that these things are planned a long time ago, and by the way that this whole scenario is rolling out, Ron, it couldn't be happening in the way it's happening. In my opinion, it would not go off the way it's going off unless you had this kind of advanced planning by these organizations I already named. I know we're getting into the first break and I'm really elucidating this as much as I can, but this is on top of Event 201, more smoking gun proof that this bullet was in the chamber a long time ago.
That's amazing. 2008. Man. It's pretty particular too. It's pretty specific about what would happen.
Right. Now, it does imply that there would be, in this scenario, no effective vaccine. But the way these organizations work, we're coming up on the break, I realize, but the way they work, they would leave that gap there so they can say, well, you know, we knew that we would need this amazing, you know, scientific breakthrough, these so-called vaccines. So we, the double dome elite of the world, always looking out for humanity, would develop such a gap. Hey, we'll be right back.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom and papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere.
And welcome to the next segment here on Stop the Presses, 29 December 2021. And while I make an announcement, do a little housekeeping, I'm going to ask Ron Avery to go to page 91 on the counter, and we'll show another item, the fourth item down, the fourth bold item down on page 91 on the counter, which should be 71 on the document. I want to announce an update on PF Laser, who's languishing in the Salinas Valley Prison in Soledad, California, and he's been there way too long, unjustly sentenced for something he was not guilty of. I have been making calls to a number that I have given out over the air, and the number doesn't seem to go through, even though it appears to be connected to the Office of the Inspector General of the California Department of Corrections. So I just want to update this, that the best thing to do right now is either get online or write to the physical address and demand or request that they free P.F. Laser, like Paul Frank, P.F. Laser, who is in a race against time, as I've announced on this show. He's been in prison since 1983. He should have been out by 1992, ultimately, but through hook or crook, through the profiteering of the prison system, he's been kept in there way too long, and he is on a race against time because he has very sensitive, very serious chemical sensitivities and believes very strongly if the mandated COVID jabs are imposed on his prison, on the prisoners there, that he would die of that jab. So he should have been paroled a long time ago. He needs to be freed to avoid that mandated jab that could kill him. And to help that along, you can go to this website, OIG, as in Office of Inspector General, oig.ca.gov/connect. Again, oig.ca, as in California, .gov/connect, and you'll see a very easy way to send in your comments. Or to physically do it, write to Office of Inspector General, Intake Unit, 10111, Old Placerville Road, P like Paul, LACERVILLE Road, Suite 110, Sacramento, California, 95827. So the phone number right now is not the best option that I had given out before, which was 916-555-0001. Now, getting back to our main topic today, and that is the Global Trends Report put out by a CFR-directed group of think tanks, the Atlantic Council, the Brookings Institution, etc. We're now looking at another part of this, looking at the fourth item down on this page, which is the prominence of non-military aspects of warfare, of aspects of warfare, right there, Ron. Reading from what video viewers can see on the screen, the prominence of non-military aspects of warfare. Reading this, non-military means of warfare such as cyber, economic, resource, psychological, and information-based forms of conflict will become more prevalent in conflicts over the next two decades. In the future, states and non-state adversaries will engage in media warfare to dominate the 24-hour news cycle and manipulate public opinion to advance their own agenda and gain popular support for their cause.
Wow.
Now that is so Orwellian. Of course, the main thing, Ron, is that the people that put together this report, they're the ones engaging in psychological and information warfare. This whole document is psychological and information warfare. These people see no conflict between what they do and who they see as adversaries, which is everybody but themselves.
That's true.
It's incredible. I think it's in the Bible, you know, don't criticize others till you look at yourself. Something like the mote that's in your eye. I don't remember the biblical quote. You might,
yeah.
Ron. You're,
but, it's what's striking to me is this media warfare to dominate the 24-hour news cycle and manipulate public opinion to advance their own agenda and gain popular support for their cause. They've identified themselves. So what they've done is said, well, this is what the war is going to be. We want to win the war, so we got to get out there and do it before anybody else does. It's do unto others before they do unto you, which is not the golden rule. It is the opposite of the golden rule.
Yeah, this ain't gold. This is pig iron, right? And exactly. That's the implication, is that through hook or crook, they will dominate the 24-hour news cycle, and they will manipulate public opinion, because you don't want any non-state adversaries, whoever they may be they named Ron Avery, Mark Anderson, be they named Hesher at Alternate Current Radio, Patrick Henningsen at 21st Century Wire, Brian Garish and Mike Robinson at UKColumn.org. We can't have them having an opinion. We can't let them inform anyone of the truth. Stay tuned.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive!
Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the ease-off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Easeoff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Gosh darn it, sorry about the muting. Some sounds came along here, some construction outside. Welcome, I'll say it again, to the second half of Stop the Presses here, 29 December 2021. Sorry about that little glitch there, lots of challenges. Anyway, we've been talking about a Megatrends report put out by, you might say, the CFR Brookings Atlantic Council triumvirate. That's a simplified way in pointing out that these top think tanks that are spokes in the Bilderberg Hub put out this report, Global Trends 2025, a transformed world, as we pointed out. And we have put on the screen for those that look at the video simulcast at livestream.com/Ryan Avery/stop the presses, some of the elements of this. Let's go one more, Ron, to on the page. Page 73, so you only have to advance 2 pages. And we'll read one more thing called the end of ideology. There it is, right there. The yellow box, yes. And, of course, I'll amply describe this for audio-only listeners at republicbroadcasting.org. But we're picking apart some elements of this 100-page major futuristic report. And the end of ideology, it says, question, we, the august authors of this report, we judge. Don't you love those first 2 words, Ron? We judge. We judge that ideological conflicts akin to the Cold War are unlikely to take root in a world where most states will be preoccupied with the pragmatic challenges of globalization and shifting global power arrangements. So there's a presumption right there that they judge and that globalization is the only trend. There can't be any other people judging, and there can't be any other trend going on. The force of ideology, there's the key word, is likely to be strongest in the Muslim world, particularly the Arab core, where Islam's diverse expressions will continue to influence deeply social norms and politics, as well as serve as a prism through which individuals will absorb the economic and cultural forces of globalization. Again, there's that inevitability of globalization. It's just got to happen, come hell or high water. Anyway, going on, increasing religious observance and the failures of secular Arab nationalism, okay, they just assume it'll fail, will leave Islamic political and social movements best positioned to assert ideological influence over governments and publics in much of the Muslim world over the next 15 to 20 years. And the reason I'm reading this one, Ron, is the end of ideology question mark. Beyond the specifics that I just read in the first paragraph, I probably won't read the rest of it. You can leave it there for a moment. It's as if the double domes in these top think tanks that wrote this thing, along with various academics and individuals and other organizations, it's as if they think they're not ideological, that ideology is something that is practiced by Arab and Islamic countries. They're the ideologues, the cool, you know, urbane minds of those that produce this report. Oh, no, they couldn't possibly be operating under any kind of meaningful or substantive ideology. Ideology is for losers in the Middle Eastern countries, or at least those in more unstable parts of the world, such as those. And what an ideology actually is as follows: a system of ideas and ideals, especially one which forms the basis of economic or political theory and policy. So it's not just a question of the end of ideology. The real question is, whose ideology is going to dominate? It's not as if those that wrote this report don't have an ideology. They absolutely do. Forced globalization, forced medical decrees, forced or organized warfare that they make it look like war just breaks out haphazardly and almost randomly, when in fact the trends and the conditions and the actual elements of war are planned. The idea of war, the need for war as a socially organizing force, was spelled out in another report back in the 60s, Ron, you might recall, called the Report from Iron Mountain. At that time also, some think tanks got together at Iron Mountain, New York, a government-ran corporation kind of confab, and they determined that they need an element of fear in the world to keep the world going, to keep it organized, to keep order. And they looked at environmental catastrophe. They looked at pathogens and medical catastrophe. But they decided that warfare as an institution had to remain in existence as a needed thing, as a necessary tool, not something they wanted to get rid of. They're not peaceniks. In order to have society be orderly, in their sense of the word orderly. So when they talk about ideology, the West has a very specific one that I just described, and that is they want conflict to a degree, they want fear to a degree, because they can't imagine a truly Christian republic or Christian world, let's just say, or something at least based on Christian precepts. They see themselves as God, as it were. They don't recognize, you'll notice when you read all of this, Ron, whether it's the report from Iron Mountain, whether it's this report, it is absolutely bereft. There is not a trace of spirituality in any of this. There is not a trace of the idea of providence or God, not a trace of any kind of humility that maybe human beings cannot and should not try to control everything in the first place.
Yeah.
It is absolutely vacuumed clean of anything. And if they mention religion at all, it's as if it's a explosive, unstable ideology that they don't want to contend with.
Yeah,
as if they don't have an ideology. It is they who are the ideologues.
Precisely. Imagine the title of this segment being "The End of Ideology," and they say that the force of ideology, as if there was only one. See, they're treating themselves, and this is true all the way through these kinds of documents. They treat globalization as a natural occurrence, much like the rotation of the Earth, or the rising of the sun, or the moon's rotation. These are natural things. Globalization is a natural thing. It's in progress. It's going to happen. And the things that are fighting this natural thing, which of course they claim they represent the natural, or they're speaking for the natural, which in essence is saying we're speaking for God, and God is a globalist, and ideology is something that is less than natural. It is lower. It's for ignorant people. Ignorant people have ideology. And the people that have that is Muslims, because they're against this natural process of globalization. Every bit of that is a very cunning lie. It's just a bald-faced lie.
Exactly, because globalization is not like spring, summer, fall, winter coming along in normal cycles, right?
Exactly.
Globalization is planned.
Ideology right down your throat.
It's an ideology where specific people make specific plans to carry out specific objectives willfully and intentionally every step of the damn way.
Right. One of the things that's almost an admission when you look at it that way is they know a lot of Muslims have their number. They're saying, but there's one group that's going to hang in there a long time. They're called Muslims. They got our number. They know what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's sure. I think they're making a mistake there. I think there's a lot of Muslims that hadn't figured this out either.
Right, right. That's true. And it's interesting, and I'm not a advocate of Islam in any broad sense, but it's interesting that Islamic banking says there shouldn't be usury, there shouldn't be interest, and that monetary risk should be shared by the lender and the borrower under Islamic banking, which is totally against the ideology of these globalists that wrote this futuristic report. Islamic banking is people-centered, where if I borrow money for a mortgage from an Islamic bank, if I default, they share half the loss. If I borrow from them for a business, if my business fails, they assume half the loss. In Western banking, from the Bank for International Settlements, which is the central bank of the central banks in Basel, Switzerland, through the Federal Reserve, through the Bank of England, down to your local commercial banks that own shares in the central banks, the loss falls completely on the borrower every step of the way.
Yeah.
And so they really like to label Islam and Arabic countries as ideological, untrustworthy, unstable. And yes, they can be. And I'm not tooting their horn, but we have to speak objectively about these things.
Right.
But again, what really gets me, that's enough of the screenshots. We don't need to show any more.
Okay.
What really gets me about this, again, is this assumption that there is no God. See, a godless world is very good for these one-worlders, because as soon as you talk about a divine creator, then all men become much more equal under the umbrella of the Lord. And these people do not believe in any notion of equality whatsoever. And so then also you get the notion of God-given rights. You know, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And so it's very difficult for them to carry out their trade and banking and mercantile ambitions when there's this notion of a Creator. So they have to step in, as it were, and be judge, jury, and executioner and the master planners of the world, because that's the only way that they can maybe dull their conscience with enough whores and cocaine, whatever it is they like to do. Whooping the houseboy, there's probably a trade in child sex and pedophilia that goes along with this too, at least in some strata of these people, some of their comings and goings, some elements, some levels of their dealings, in order to bribe people and blackmail people to go along. But so we now see the different things that I've talked about, we've talked about here, including the long-range COVID plan, apparent COVID plan, going back from 2008 when this report was written, much more in the past than the Event 201 in October of 2019 that I mentioned, that also gave us this strange prediction and meeting that purported to solve or address a coronavirus outbreak, kind of a drill or dress rehearsal. And so it's amazing when you tear into what these people are doing, and we keep finding this is what's weird. We do have a caller we're going to get to in just a moment, but the more we look, the more we find that there were get-togethers and major confabs to write these reports. These reports obviously take a lot of input, a lot of editing, a lot of review, a lot of work. And I want to mention something that I forgot to mention, though. The organizations, the CFR, Brookings, Atlantic Council, etc., that are spokes in the Bilderberg Hub, the main overseer of this report, Ron, and those listening live and on the archive, was the Office of National Intelligence. So this is the CIA of the CIA, the umbrella national intelligence organization in Washington, the official part of the government, under which the CIA and other intelligence agencies like the NSA operate. So this has the express sanction of the government through the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the highest level of intelligence in the U.S. government, calling in this case for this scenario, saying with practical certainty that by the 2020 or so, before 2025 comes along, in our case 2020, something like COVID, and this was pretty specific, would come along. So I think we've drilled into this deep enough probably for today. We'll turn the drill off, and let's go to the hold on a minute here. We have Dave from New York.
Yes, good afternoon, Mark and Ron. Yes.
Hey, Dave.
Yes. Hey, I did send you guys an email. I don't know if you even noticed yet. It was regarding yesterday's show and Kaufman and everything. I think one thing I didn't mention, and you mentioned, Ron, was about this test for Omicron, zero micron, as I call it, because it's really killed almost zero people. The test that Kaufman is talking about, I didn't hear what he had to say, so I can't say what he said. You did, but Chris Martinson came out on December 22nd. He posted Omicron variant death video, saying that this was actually possibly the salvation of everyone. And he pointed out that SGTF cases, S gene target failure cases, in other words, that test has three areas it tests for. In the genetic code, and one of those I think is the spike protein area. And due to the huge amount of mutations in SARS-CoV-2 between SARS-CoV-2 and Omicron, that fails to show a positive. So if you have two bars, I guess, instead of three, they're presuming that it is Omicron. And so he's explained this. There's rationale behind it. It's not perhaps not just there to invent more cases. I think what we don't do here sometimes on RBN a lot is go to good sources, and instead we go to these disinformation, misinformation people. They're throwing all kinds of any new conspiracy theory comes out on COVID, and many of these are baseless, and I pointed out so many, they keep coming up. This is a problem. And if you listen to Patrick Slattery's show on the 21st and yesterday with Mark Collett, you'll realize that maybe there's something we should be more careful at saying things that we don't haven't studied.
Well, I agree with you. Dave, I did get your email. I didn't have a chance to respond to it. It was pretty lengthy, but I was working on some other things. But also, I tend to agree that, and I will admit, I'm not a physician. I don't study microbiology. I'm not into any of that. And I would hate to say one way or the other about any of this. But this is why I say, all of us need to be well trained in civil government, the science of civil government, and know what government has authority to do and when. Because the real harmful part of this doesn't have anything to do with the virus at all. It has to do with governments enacting horrendous measures like lockdowns and mask wearing and no speaking and all of this kind of stuff. This is just pure tyranny. And the population is so ignorant of the science, a political science, that they fall prey to the idea that that authority comes from emergencies and diseases instead of the individual.
Well, yes, certainly that's all true. I think we just need good sources, and we need to get into. If we want to speak to other people in the world, 95% of the rest of the world thinks there's a virus. There's lots of evidence, predominance of the evidence, that there is such a virus, or at least the genetic code's going all over the world and it's being found by everybody. So we need to get on the same page with them in the science and then go from there in the logic. Why are we doing this? Why are we letting the guy who has a huge concentration is his nasal pharynx because he has the vaccine. He doesn't have any symptoms. Why is he going into the store and we can't? Why is he infecting everybody? Why is he a super spreader? This is very logical. And if we work on the basis that they're using, we can have an effect in the world to perception, and perception of people and their activities and their compliance thus comes down from that. And you can take down these doctors who are saying stupid things using this. This is just my point. We need to go to good sources, and Chris Martinson is very good. I'll send you a follow-up on that because I studied a little more on this.
We'll look at those sources, Dave. I didn't have time to look at your email today. Too many errands to run. I barely made time for this show today. Yeah. But I'm going to look at it later on after the show. And yes, we always look for good sources. I will say again, though, what I said yesterday when I called into Ron's show briefly, one man's good source is the next man's propaganda. Again, when you go to people that have big credentials and are heavy hitters in a given part of science, a given industry, it's good that they have good credentials. It's good that they appear to be knowledgeable, but those that are the big hitters tend to be the most compromised. There's exceptions to that, of course, but
Well, this guy isn't really one of the bigger hitters. I would say he's not a Robert Malone at all. Okay, he's a step down from that. You will know when you see, just like when you knew it was your wife and you should marry her. You'll know when you see him because you know the truth to some degree. All right, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Dave. Call again another time. I'm going to take a chance to look at that email and try and digest it. I had other things to do today, of course, as we've outlined. But again, thanks for the call. The thing is, though, is that if you look at Vernon Coleman in the UK, Dr. Carrie Majed in the US, I think it's M-A-D-E-J, Andrew Kaufman would be another, and there are scores of others, Robert Malone, who I've spoken to twice off the air. He didn't quite agree to come on the show, but I've spoken to Robert Malone twice. Peter McCullough, a very good one. okay, very knowledgeable, talking about how the therapeutics for what's perceived to be COVID-19, although the regular flu seems to have gone away and maybe it's been renamed or relabeled COVID-19 in some cases, but McCullough, at an event that I covered in Berrien Springs, Michigan, just a few months ago, spoke emphatically about how when this came along, everybody was told to wait for the vaccine when they could have and should have been prescribed ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and other treatments. Therefore, they would have, if they were sick at all, they would have avoided getting seriously ill and certainly avoided dying. And they would, in many cases where they went on a ventilator and that ended up killing them, they would have never gotten that far along where they even would have needed the ventilator. And another drug, the name of which I don't recall right now, that is sort of a go-to drug for the standard medical cartel that was actually largely bad for people's health and had very poor results and would end up putting people on the ventilator. So as McCullough outlined, and he is a credible resource, don't try to tell me otherwise, he's very credible, very good, very well studied. As he outlined, people were told to wait for these tremendous, life-saving, miracle vaccines. Don't do ivermectin, don't do hydroxychloroquine, don't take a lot of zinc, don't do D3, improve your nutrition, stay hydrated, get away from fast food and sugar, et cetera, et cetera. Wait for the vaccine. Well, all those serious illnesses and many of those deaths could have been prevented had these therapeutics been given proactively while the so-called vaccines, which are really mRNA injections, were still under development and had not received this much ballyhooed emergency use authorization, which is really pretty much a complete and total sham for reasons I need not go into. So there is that that's staring us right in the face, Ron. If we want to accept COVID as real, you know, there's still kind of a dividing line there. I won't take a stance either way. But if we want to, I think Peter McCullough, among others, had very salient observations there. They were ignored, and that's where we're at now.
Yes, I agree.
But your point is really the overriding point, Ron. Well, first of all, recall that we mentioned on your show and or mine the work of R.J. Rummel, who wrote the book Democide, Death by Government, and tyranny has been the most lethal thing of all. And the tyranny that's come out of this is the real problem. That's the real pathogen, tyranny, that we need to inoculate ourselves against by learning civil government and the proper principles for it. Enough said. I guess we've run out of time. Thanks, Ron.
You bet. My pleasure.
Okay, thanks for listening. Everybody live and on the archive, check out our livestream.com/Ron Avery/StopThePresses. Video simulcast. Everybody have a great weekend. We probably won't see you until after that weekend. Have a great new year.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.